Today Shir's Masechta Sukkah Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis at the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. In the Mishnah that we had learned yesterday, the Mishnah discussed how many tekiyas were blown on any given day. Says the Gemara, the minimum, the maximum, etc. Says the Gemara, Masnisin, our Mishnah, the way it stated, the amount of tekiyas that were blown every day, like Rabbi Yehuda, is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hapaychus LaYifchais Misheva, he should never blow less than seven tekiyas. VaMoisif, and the day that the maximum amount of tekiyas were blown, LaYosef HaSheish Esri, was not more than 16. So our Mishnah, when it spoke, said 21 and 48, and he says 7 and 16. Says the Gemara, Maikam Efli, what is the basis of the Machloikus of Yehud and Rabbanim? Says the Gemara, Yehuda's opinion is, Tekiyah, Ruah Tekiyah. The way the Shofar was blown with a Tekiyah, and then a Truah, and then Tekiyah. Rabbi Yehuda considers them, Hahu Achasi. It's really all considered one set. So what the Rabbanim consider as three separate, the Tekiyah, the Truah, Tekiyah, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's really one. And that's why what the Rabbanan have as 21, if you take those 21 and divide it by 3, it'll be 7. The same thing, the 48 divided by 3 will be 16. Rabbanan Savri, Tekiya Lechud, Truah Lechud, that the tree and the key and the Truah are all separate. And therefore, since they're separate, and the Pasha Pshat, the way the Mefarshim explain, is are the three, the Tekiya, Truah, Tekiya, considered one mitzvah, or they considered separate mitzvahs. That's the simple pshat. But I did see that there are mafarshim that suggest that nobody could say that they're separate mitzvahs. The machloikus, as we're going to see, is that everybody agrees that the three that we're blowing are one mitzvah. The machloikus is essentially related to how to blow them. Are they blown separately or without any interruption in between? Or are they blown altogether with an interruption in between? Says the Gemara, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda that says that these three tekiyas, these three times that we blow, are all considered one mitzvah? Says the Gemara, I'm a krab, because the pasuk says, usukatem trua. The pasuk says it's katam truma alma. From here we see trua and tekiya. Now we know that the trua is a very different sound than the tekiya. So how's the trua called the skatem? To teach us that it's all one set. Drabonin, who consider them separately, what do they say this pasuk is coming to teach us? That's come to teach us a different din. That the halacha is, as the Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah teaches us, is that the way we're supposed to blow the shofar, we're always supposed to blow the shofar with the tekiya before, and the tekiya after, and the truah in the middle. And Rashi explains that since one time the Torah said the tekiya before the truah, and another place the Torah says truah before tekiya, to teach us that every truah blast has to have a tekiya before it, and a truah and a tekiya after it. Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, it says in Rabbanan, my tamayu, according to Rabbanan, that consider the tekiya, true tekiya, into separate mitzvahs. So why do they say that? Separate, says Mardukse, because the pasuk says, when the pasuk gives Moshe Rabbeinu the instruction to gather together, when they need to gather together Klal Yisrael, and they needed to blow the shofar and the chatzotris to gather Klal Yisrael together, says the pasuk, "B'haklas hakol tisku v'loy suriyu." V'yisal k'daitach. Here it says they only do tekiya and not truah. Now says the rabbanan, "V'yisal k'daitach." If you're going to suggest that truah tekiya v'truah achasi, that the tekiya and truah is all one set, so he says, "Om rachmana palga de mitzvah avid, palga de loy avid." Would the Torah have ever suggested that we should do just part of a mitzvah? The fact that the Torah says to do tekiya and truah separately is clearly an indication that they should be viewed separately. Rabbi Yehuda, Says Rabbi Yehuda, Hahula Sima Ba'al Madasa. Those tekiyas that we just read weren't for a mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to blow. It's only to gather the people together. And of course, as I saw, Reb David Soloveitchik explains, of course there's a mitzvah to do this. If there weren't a mitzvah, the Torah wouldn't discuss it. And there were certainly conditions that one has to follow how to fulfill this requirement. But the point of this is not for the tekiyas itself. Sometimes, like best example would be the kabbonis that we're learning in our shiurim about, or on Rosh Hashanah when we blow the shofar. So in all those situations, when we blow the shofar, the purpose of blowing the shofar is to do the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. There's an independent obligation to blow the shofar. Whereas when we're speaking about this pasuk, it was only to get them to come together, either because they're going to travel or for whatever other purpose. And therefore, it's not considered the same as all other situations where the tekiyas are for an independent mitzvah. Ask the Gemara. Kamana azla da hada amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana taught us that when you blow the tekiyah teruah tekiyah, ain bein tekiyah leteruah, there should be no interruption for like klum. Says the Gemara, Kamana k'Rabbi Yehuda. Ostensibly, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is one mitzvah. So since it's considered one mitzvah, therefore there should be no interruption between the different parts of the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, when we say that there should be no interruption, it means there should be only kedei neshima, the amount it takes to take a breath. And that's also the opinion of the Meiri, that even though Rav Kahana is saying that there should be no interruption between the tekiyah and teruah, it means not more than kedei neshima, more than taking a breath. The Rosh, however, disagrees. And he says that you could even interrupt with more than kedei neshima if you need to take a breath. As long as there's no quiet time when you're not doing anything, then there is no problem. So now the question is, what is considered kedei neshima? So the Trumas Adeshin and the Beis Yosef, and this is the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, say that even if we're going to say that there should be no interruption, not even kedei neshima, all are of the opinion that there should be some stop. We have to show that this is the tekiyah and this is the teruah. More than that, stopping not stopping at all is not acceptable. The Avni Nezer and the Chazanish say that if you hold that you're supposed to make it the neshima achas, it means you should go from one directly into the other without any stop at all. Ask the Gemara Pshita. If we're saying that it's following the opinion of Yehuda, of course that is the halacha. Since Rabbi Yehuda considers them, as we've been saying from the beginning of our shiur today, that it's all one mitzvah, so of course there may not be any interruption. Answers the Gemara. That Rav Kahana's statement would be following even according to Rabbanan, there should be an interruption. Lufuke, and what Rav Kahana is trying to teach us, that we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Dama, Rabbi Yochanan says, on Rosh Hashanah, with Midaraisa, you have to hear 9 koilos. Shama teish tekiyas, if you heard those 9 tekiyas, b'teish shas b'yoyim, 9 different hours of the day, it's still Yotza, Kamash Malan, that's what he's trying to teach us, that Rav Kahana has come to teach us that is not acceptable. Because Midaraisa, on Rosh Hashanah, we're mechuyev to hear 9 tekiyas. Three times. 3 for Malchus, 3 for Zechroinus, and 3 for Shofars. Every time we have to hear a tekiyah teruah tekiyah. What we blow much more than that is because, as the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah in Daf Lamed Gimel teaches us, the Torah speaks about a tekiyah. Everybody knows what a tekiyah is. It's a straight blast. The question is, what is the definition of teruah? Is the definition of teruah what we call shvarim? Is the definition of teruah what we call teruah? Or is the definition of teruah what we call shvarim teruah? And because, as the Gemara over there explains, we're not quite certain what it is, each time we blow, we have to blow all three different types away. That's why we end up with many more koilos. Mamid deraisa, were we to know exactly what the trua was, we would have to blow tekiya trua tekiya for tzchronius, tekiya trua tekiya for malchius, and tekiya trua tekiya for shofars. So Rabbi Yochanan says that not only is that what's required, but you could do that in 9 different hours of the day. Tells us Rav Kahana that even the Rabbanan, who don't consider tekiya trua tekiya as one mitzvah, would not accept that. But who says Rav Kahana necessarily is coming, says the Gemara, to explain the opinion that of Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara, Emachanami, Imke Veloi Kulum. And the posh pshat in the Gemara is, according to the Rabbanan, even if you'll say that you're supposed to blow them not in so with such a big hefsek, with such a big interruption all day long, the Rabbanan will allow somewhat of an interruption. But if we look at the words of Rav Kahana says, v'loy klum, no break at all. So that can't be following the opinion of Rabbanan. If the Rabbanan hold that they're separate mitzvahs, the Rabbanan will certainly hold that they don't have to be blown without any interruption at all. So here, we have this very fundamental question. Are you supposed to blow tekiya trua tekiya b'neshima achas, opinion of Yehuda, or could you have an interruption? However, the Prima Gadim makes a very interesting point. He says that if you blew tekiya and trua b'neshima achas, that's fine. You're following the opinion of Yehuda, and the Rabbanan don't have any opposition to that. But if you're going to do that, then you should also blow the tekiya after the trua b'neshima achas. In other words, what the Prima Gadim holds, that if you're going to blow tekiya trua together, that means that they're connected. If you hold it connected, then the trua tekiya should also be connected. And you can't have a situation where there's going to be an interruption one time and not the other time. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that certainly the shvarim, we blow 3 shvarim, those 3 shvarim should be blown b'neshima achas. The question is regarding shvarim terua. Some say that they should not be done b'neshima achas. Some say that yes. So the opinion of the Rebbeinu Tam is that you don't have to blow shvarim terua b'neshima achas. However, you should not have more of an interruption than kedei neshima. It says the Mishnah Berurah that according to Rebbeinu Tam, even though Rebbeinu Tam doesn't require neshima achas, the Mishnah Berurah says Rebbeinu Tam would say it's fine if you did a neshima achas. The opinion of the Rabban is that it should be specifically done b'neshima achas. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in order to fulfill both the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam and Rabban, he says, but the tekiyas, the miyushiv, the tekiyas before the Shemana Esrei, you should blow them b'neshima achas. By the tekiyas, the moment the tekiyas by Shemana Esrei, by Chazar Shashatz, you should do it b'shei neshimas. The Ramah, however, says that we always do it b'shtei neshimas, but the Mishnah Berurah says that even though when it comes to blowing it, the shofar, shvarim terua, we should always do it, or tekiya shvarim, we should always do it b'shima achas, when the Baal Makre, when he's calling out shvarim terua, should not say shvarim, and then the Baal Tekeya should blow shvarim. And then he should call out to Trua, and the Baal Tekeya should blow Trua, because that would certainly cause too much of an interruption between the Shvarim Trua. Rather, says the Mishnah Berurah, as is the Minhag HaOlam, the Baal Makri should say Shvarim Trua, and then the Baal Tekeya should blow Shvarim with a Kedei Neshima, and then blow the Trua. Why do we not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that says that if you blew the ninth tekiyas 9 hours of the day, you're not yoitza? Because Rashi explains that it has to be that it's obvious that they're being blown to be yoitza the mitzvah deraisa. And if somebody blows them in so many separate hours of the day, it won't be recognizable that it's being done l'shem mitzvahs. The Mishnah says and Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, we learned in the Mishnah that they blew on the Malasiris, on the 10th step. And we had in the Gemara a question exactly where that 10th step was. So we learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbos B'toich HaChag, when Erev Shabbos during Sukkos, they blew 48 Tekiyas. And as we explained, they blew for the Simchas Beis HaSheva, and they blew at the Shara Elyon, at the Shara Tachton, three for the, by the Milu Yamayim, when they actually drew the water, and three on the Mizbeach. Vilu points out the Gemara, L'mala Asiris like Tani. Our Mishnah, unlike the Mishnah Daf Nun Aleph, that says that they blew the Shofar by Mala Asiris, our Mishnah doesn't say that they blew a Shofar at the Mala Asiris. Says the Gemara Masnisimani, whose opinion does this follow? Says the Gemara Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Sholosh L'mala Asiris, that they blew three Tekiyas by the Mala Asiris, as we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Sholosh Al Gabe Mizbeach. They blew three Tekiyas by the Mizbeach, but not Omer L'mala Asiris. Says the Gemara, the opinion that holds that they blew by the Mala Asiris Eino Omer Al Gabe Mizbeach does not agree that they blew by the Mizbeach. And on the other hand, the Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that they blew by the Mizbeach, Eino Omer L'mala Mizbeach. So no, it's Mala Asiris. So they have a very fundamental machloikus. Where did this tekiah take place? By the Mala Asiris or by the Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that they blew by the Mizbeach, not by the Mala Asiris, says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is, Kivin the Taka, Psich Sharm, since they blew tekiahs as they went out of the gates, Labala Siris Lomele the Taka. They blew by the Shara Elyon, by the Shara Tachtin, the Shara Mayim. There's no need, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, to blow by the Mala Siris as well. Hailav Sharhu, because the Mala Siris is not a Shar, and there's no reason to blow here, and therefore to blow there. Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hilkach al Gabe Hamizbeach Odif. It's preferable to blow this by the Mizbeach. Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon who said that they blew by the Mala Asiris and not by the Mizbeach, their opinion is, Savri, Kivin the Takla Melamayim, the entire purpose of blowing all these times is because, as we learned, the Shafta Mayim Besosun, we want to take this procedure with much publicity. Agab Mizbeach, when they're taking that Ravis to the Mizbeach, that doesn't fit into the concept and to the requirement of a Shafta Mayim Besosam, and therefore, Lamali, there's no reason to blow by the Mala Asiris, Hilkach Lamala, there's no reason to blow by the Mizbeach, Hilkach Lamala Masira Adif, they blow it by the Mala Asiris. And the reason Rashi explains that they blew by the Mala Asiris is that they wanted to have a specific place as they're walking on the steps where they blew, so they chose the Mala Asiris. And the Mashah explains that the 15 Shir Hamalos that we discussed in the previous Shurim were corresponding to the Shem Hashem Ko, Yod Hei, and therefore when they got to the 10th step, which is corresponding to the letter Yud of that name, they blew the Shofar. The Aruch HaNer says that the 10th of the Shir Hamalos ends with the words L'ka and Kiyod Al-Keis Ka. The Pasuk speaks L'kai Neinu. Since in that parak we speak about Ka, it makes sense that should be where they blew the 10th, they blew the Shofar. Says the Gemara, Kiyosar Avdima, Kiyosar Acha Bachanina Medroima, when he came from the Dorim, Aisim Asnissim B'yodei, he came with a braisa that he had learned that taught us about the halachas of blowing the Shofar. The Pasuk says, there's really no reason for the Torah to use the word Yisku. The Pasuk already there teaches us. What is the Torah? Repeat the word Yisku. What it means is, who Tanala? So he was the one that taught us this price of who Amala, and he's the one that explains that braisa. What that braisa means to teach us is loimer shetoyken akol musaf and musaf. If we have a day like Yontif that falls on Shabbos, we blow separately for each musaf. However, says Rashi, what that means is that if we just explain, we have Shabbos Yontif, so there's a chiv musaf for Shabbos and there's a chiv musaf for Yontif, we blow separately for each carbon musaf. But if the carbon musaf comes with a number of animals, that doesn't mean we blow for every animal separately. We blow for each carbon musaf, for each reason to have a carbon musaf separately, but not for each animal separately. Ask the Gemara. From our Mishnah, we seem to have a raya, ask the Gemara, that we did not blow separately for each carbon musaf. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Shabtoich Chag, when Friday during Sukkot, Hayasham Abayim B'Shemayna, we had 48 Tekiyas, and the Mishnah said that was the day that had the most Tekiyas. 48 is your maximum number. Vim Isa, if the halacha is that every time you have a Musaf, you have a separate Tekiyas, listen to Shabbos B'Chag, that on Shabbos during Yontif, we have three more for Shabbos and for Yontif. So that will bring us to a total of 51. Because even though we're going to miss the six tekiyas that we have on a Friday, which we described in our previous year, that stopped them from doing melacha, there is nine for Musaf of Shabbos, nine for the Musaf of Yontif, and therefore we'll have a total. So even if we'll take off from the 48, six, it'll take us down to 42. But now we're going to add 9, which will take us up to 51. Amar of Zera, Lefisha ain't taken of Sikha Sharm B'Shabbos. Even though, as we just spoke about, all the tekiyas they blew on Sukkot by Veshafta Mayim B'Sasson, that wasn't done on Shabbos. Because as we learned, all of the water was prepared before Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, a man hod lechosh l'kumcha. Who's the person who doesn't pay attention to what he's saying? Chosh l'kumcha, says Rashi, is somebody who has wheat. And we know in the wheat we have the kernels, and we have the bran, which is the waste. And we're saying, this person, the same things that aren't all really important. Another pshat is that he didn't really think through. When you have wheat, you're supposed to grind it properly. The person who made this statement did not properly analyze what he was supposed to say. Chada, there's two reasons to disagree. The B'chol Yom Taman. Our Mishnah was speaking about every day. And every day, it means even Shabbos. Void, inami kadadinenu. Even if you'll say that on Shabbos they did not blow because of the Psicha Sharim, why did our Mishnah not mention this case where there were at least that many? Listen to Shabbos Shabtoich Chag, that maybe there won't be that many, but there'll be 48. The Shabbat Minatarti. And by using the example of Shabbos B'toich Yontif, we would learn two new halachas. Shmamino, the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that they would blow when they put the Arovas by the Mizbeach. Mishmamino, the Rebbe Ach B'chanino, that we blow for every Musaf by itself. So even if you'll say that there aren't 51 on that Shabbos, there are 48. And that would be a much better example, because we can learn so many halachas. We can learn that we blow when we put the arovas by the mizbeach, and we can learn that we blow for each carbon musaf individually. Says the Ma'alar Amar Rava, "Vafisha ain't toikel mila mayim b'Shabbos." On Shabbos, they did not do any shivas mayim, and since they did not do any shivas mayim, you're going to lose many tekiyas. They did 3 by the Shara Elyon, 3 by the Shara Tachton, 3 by the Shara Mayim, and 3 on the Mizbeach. And since you lose all of these, it'll be less than 48. Says the Gemara, but listening now, Roshana Shechal B'Shabbos. Why doesn't the Mishnah give us an example, Roshana that's on Shabbos, Dikat Losa Masafim, we'll have 3 for the Masafim, the 3 carbon musafs on every Rosh Hashanah that Shabbos. 1 for Shabbos, 1 for Rosh Hashanah, and 1 because it's Rosh Chodesh Tisrei. Tlosa Masafim, Musaf de Roshana, Musaf de Rosh Chodesh, or Musaf de Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Erev Shabbos, so we would end up with having 48. So when we're looking for an example of 48, ask the Gemara, why doesn't the Mishnah use that an example where we'll have 48? And there answers the Gemara, Erev Shabbos b'tachayk itzuchalei. The reason the Mishnah chose to speak about a day that we have 48 of Erev Shabbos b'tachayk chag, the reason the Mishnah preferred to use that example, Lashmina Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, to teach us that we blew like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov on the by the Mizbeach and not on the Malam of Siris, which is only relevant on Sukkos. It's not relevant on Rosh Hashanah, so that's why the Gemara chose that example. Otto asked the Gemara, but that wasn't our question. If what the Gemara's question was, that we should only mention one case, so then we could understand the Gemara's teretz, that the Gemara is saying, I would prefer to speak about the day where we can learn all these halachas. What the Gemara is saying is, we should have mentioned both cases, both the case of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, and both the case of Erev Shabbos. Why do we mention only one? Answers the Gemara, as the Gemara says many times in Shas, Tana v'Shaya, yes, there are two examples. There could be the example of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos b'toich chag, but the Tana did not mention all the examples. Tana v'Shaya, ask the Gemara, my Shaya, the high Shaya. The rule throughout Shas is that if the Tana doesn't have to mention all the examples, and that's the definition of Tana v'Shaya. But if the Tana is not going to mention all the examples, it's going to be that he has to have more than one exception. Because, as Ritva explained, if there's only one example left out, it seems that the reason it was left out is because that's not the halacha. If there's more than one example omitted, then we could say that the reason it was omitted is because the Tana is not anxious to mention all the examples, says the Gemara. So if we're saying that the Tana of our Mishnah is not mentioning all the examples, and Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos is what's left out, we need to find something else. Im Mishum, says the Gemara, I'll find you left over. Shir Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, they blew many tekiyas. They blew 21 as they blow every day. Erev Pesach is no different than every day. And then, on Erev Pesach, they brought the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach, as we learned in Masechet Pesachim, was brought by three different groups. And each group said Hallel three times. And each time they said Hallel, they blew the Shofar. So that's 3 times 3 is 9. Times 3 is 27. 27 plus 21 equals 48. So here we have another day of 48 that was also not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Imishim Erev Pesach, if you want to say that was the day that was left out, Lav Shiruhu, that can't be the example. The Homani, because we could say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda. The Omar, Mimeim Shokei Shlishis, that the third group, which the Gemara Masechta Pesachim calls the Kat Atlonis, the Kat that was lazy, that because they waited to be the last group, and there was therefore very few people in that group. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, the Imam and Mem shall catch Shlishis, lo higiu loima have to kish Hashem. Even the first time that group said Hallel, they only got to have to Hashem. There were very few people. There were very few people. And therefore, since there were very few people, they never had that 9 times saying Hallel in the three groups. So we're down to less than the 27. We're down to about 21, which won't bring us to a total of 48. There's a Machlokes Rishonim. Who was the one that said the Hallel? Rashi seems to learn that the people who brought the Korban Pesach would want to say Hallel. Tosfos says it was the Leviim. I saw another opinion that it was actually both of them. And as the Ritva explains, as long as they were shechting, that's as long as they said the Hallel. But if they didn't shecht anymore, they didn't say Hallel. So it's, and that's why the Gemara says that in that group, they stopped saying Hallel by a half day of Hashem. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked that presumably, when they said halal, they made a bracha on the halal. And if they make a bracha on the halal, you can't stop in the middle. The bracha is only effective if you're going to say the whole halal. So the Brisker Rav, quoting Rav Haigoin, says that just like the halal that we say by the Seder, we don't make a bracha on it. The halal that they said by the bringing of the Karm Pesach, Erev Pesach afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't make a bracha. And since they didn't make a bracha, explains the Brisker Rav, there is no concern if they stop in the middle. I saw a vart from the Kotzker. We just saw that this group that said the halal, that was the third group, they never got past the Haftias Hashem. So the Kotzker used to say, a people who are lazy in their avoidas Hashem, as we just call them, the katz atzlonis, the lazy people, they are people who are not a haftias Hashem Jews. They're not people who show their love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a person who really loves Hashem would never delay in saying the halal. They would come right. They would come to be part of the older groups. Ask the Gemara, Va'amrit Reisha, the like of Yehuda. We already explained that our Mishnah isn't following the opinion of Yehuda. We began today's Shia by saying that our Mishnah counts each tekiah through a tekiah as a separate mitzvah, whereas Rabbi Yehuda considers the entire set as one. So what are we saying? That our Mishnah was saying that this doesn't work with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda anyway. Answers the Gemara, that isn't a good necessarily way of understanding the Mishnah. Because Dilma Hai Tana, maybe the Tana of our Mishnah, Saval Kavase Bechada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the people saying the way Halal was or wasn't recited by the bringing of the Karm Pesach, Erev Pesach, or Palagla Bechada, but he doesn't agree with him regarding how we count the Tekiah through a Tekiah. So if that's the case, we're back to our original question. We're saying that the reason our Mishnah didn't mention Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos because Tana V'Shayer, but my Shayer, the High Shayer. We still need to find the other exception that wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Shayer Erev Pesach Shechal Lius B'Erev Shabbos. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should take out six because they didn't say Halal more than one time. But let's remember, it's Erev Shabbos. So that will take us down to 42. But now we have to add six because every Erev Shabbos, as we learned in the Mishnah in our previous year, they blew six tekiahs kedei lahaftal on melacha to take people to stop working. So the 42 that Rabbi Yehuda agrees we have plus six brings us up to 48. So again, Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should be mentioned in the Mishnah. And the fact that it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah shows that our Mishnah is leaving out two exceptions. Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah, Vei Mesif and Al-Borim Shmoina. The maximum is 48. Ask the Gemara V'loi, is there never more than 48? V'ikka, we'll have a case, Erev Pesach Shechal Lius B'Shabbos, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, Dilei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they only said Halal once in the third group, Chamishin V'Chada, we'll have a total of 51. We'll have 21 as we have every day. The next will be another 9 for Shabbos. It takes you up to 30. We'll have another 18 for the two first groups. And then of that say, that bring the Karm Pesach, each group 3 times 3 is 9. That takes you up to 48. And then Rabbi Yehuda agreed that the third group said Halal once. So that will take you up with another 3 is 51. Vila Rabbanon, and certainly according to Rabbanon, that say that even the third group reads Halal 3 times. So that will bring you up to 57. So ask the Gemara, why did our Mishnah say that the maximum you could ever have is 48? We just came up to the number of 51 according to Rabbi Yehuda and 57 according to Rabbanan. Answers the Gemara, Kiktan imididis b'kol shana. Our Mishnah, when it speaks about cases that happen every year. Whereas, Erev Pesach Chalis B'Shabbos, Erev Pesach falling on Shabbos, Leis B'Kol Shana V'Shana, doesn't happen on an annual basis. It only happens when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and that's why, like Tani, it wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that our Mishnah only speaks about cases that happen every year, Ata Erev Shabbos Shabbatoich Chag Misa B'Kol Shana, our Mishnah spoke about that the case where we had 48 was Erev Shabbos during Yontif. Is that necessarily going to be the case every year? Zumba, the Lai Mishkachas law. Maybe there's going to be a year where there won't be an Erev Shabbos during Sukkos. Vechi Dami, what would be the case? Kedoyin Shechal Yontif Rishon Erev Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkos was on Friday, and if the first day of Sukkos was on Friday, then there's no Nisach HaMayim on that day. And next Friday, there won't be Nisach HaMayim, so we won't have 48. Answers the Gemara, Ki Mikla Yontav Rishon Be'erev Shabbos. If it falls out that the calendar should have that the first day of Sukkos is on Friday, Mitcha Dechinalei. We make that it shouldn't happen. We manipulate the calendar that it shouldn't happen that way. Tosh Pshat is that we make Elul into a longer month that it shouldn't fall on Friday. Why? Why are we so anxious that the first day Sukkot should not be on Friday? My Tama, Kivin the Ikla Yontav Rishon Shel Chag Lias Be'erev Shabbos, if the first day of Sukkot is on Friday, Yom Kippurim Amos Havi, when will Yom Kippurim be? B'chad B'Shabbos. Yom Kippurim will be Sunday. And we don't want, as the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Amun Aleph teaches us, we don't want Yom Kippur should be on a Sunday. And the reason we don't want Yom Kippur to be on the Sunday, the Gemara over there explains, for two reasons. One is because Yarka, they used to need to prepare vegetables for the meal that they're going to eat, Matzah Yom Kippur, and they didn't live in a world of refrigerators, so they're not going to have vegetables. They're not going to have a place where to keep the vegetables fresh, and they won't be able to have meals properly prepared. And that's why on Matzah Yom, they didn't want that Yom Kippur should be on Sunday. The other reason is, the Gemara explains there, is Mishum Masya. Rachman al-Tzlan, if somebody is nifter on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is the next day, we don't make the Levaya on Shabbos, nor will we make the Levaya on Sunday. And we don't want that the Mesh should be left without Kvura for 2 days. So they would manipulate the calendar of Elul that to make Elul a day longer to push everything off. Ask the Gemara, is that true that Yom Kippur can never be on Sunday? If we have a situation where Shabbos and the next day is Yom Kippur, so on Shabbos we brought Kabbonis, and normally we burn the Avrim of those Kabbonis that are brought on Shabbos, on Motzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, that Motzoi Shabbos, but that Motzoi Shabbos is not a regular Matzah Shabbos. That Matzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur. We still could burn the Avrim on that Matzah Shabbos. So we see that it can be on Sunday. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Am Rav Zeira, Ki Avina Bei Rabba Bovel, we learned in the Yeshiva of Rav and Bovel, Havri Amri, they taught us, Haratan Yom Kippur Shechal Yos Erev Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Friday, and we learned in our previous year, and we learned in today's year, Baruch Hashem, as well, they blew on a normal Friday, they blow tekiyas to stop people from working. That Friday, which is Yom Kippur, lo yahayu doiken, they did not blow. Because people weren't working anyway, because it was already Yom Kippur. Similarly, even though, of course, every Matzah Shabbos, we make Havdalah, that Matzah Shabbos, lo yahayu mavdilin. Because usually, when do we make Havdalah? When we go from Shabbos to Yontif. Because Shabbos and Yontif don't have the same halachas regarding Havdalah, regarding Melacha. So to show that, we make Havdalah. The Nusach is Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, not Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Chol. But on Yom Kippur, we don't make Havdalah because it's one continuation. Because we didn't do Melacha on Shabbos. We don't do Melacha on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, when we learned in Bavel, we said Divrei Hakolhi. Everybody follows these opinions. Kisalikas Lahasam, but he comments that when I came to Yisrael, Rav Zeira says when I came to Yisrael, Ashkechei Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Shimon Pazi the Yosef Kamar Rabbi Kivihi, that this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that holds in Masech the Shabbos the Chal v'Shabbos ain't craving b'Yom Kippurim, and therefore he holds that Yom Kippur is equivalent to Shabbos. And therefore, when Yom Kippur is on Friday, there's no reason to blow the shofar because they're both equivalent. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that Chel v'Shabbos craven b'Yom Kippurim, that if you have Shabbos and then Yom Kippur on Sunday, on Matzah Shabbos, they did burn those chalovim. Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that Yom Kippur is less than Shabbos. And if Yom Kippur is less than Shabbos, so when Yom Kippur falls on Friday, we do have to blow the shofar, that everybody should recognize that we're coming to a higher level of Kedusha because it's Shabbos. And the purpose of doing that, because reality, we didn't do Melacha on Friday Yom Kippur, is that the Kohanim should know that the Chalovim of the Kabbonis that were brought on Yom Kippur may not be burnt on Friday night. And also, for teach us in future years that when Yom Kippur comes on Sunday, we will be allowed to burn the chalovim from the kabbonis on Shabbos. The Bnei Bavel, who Rav Zeira said, held that this brisa follows the opinion of everybody. Even Rabbi Shmuel says that the only reason we're saying that we have to blow on that the shofar that Friday is to teach the kahanim not to burn the chalovim of Yom Kippur Kabbonis that Friday night. It's not relevant, as we just said, to everyone, because everyone wasn't allowed to do melacha on Friday Yom Kippur anyway. It's only relevant for the Kohanim, and Kohanim is Rizimheim, and Kohanim know that halacha, so to blow the shofar just for the Kohanim on that Friday is not necessary. But what's relevant to our shir is that Yom Kippur can fall on Sunday. So if Yom Kippur could fall on Sunday, that means that the first day of Sukkot could be on Friday. If the first day of Sukkot could be on Friday, then we go back to our original question. We said that the reason the Mishnah didn't speak about the case of Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbos, which actually, as we mentioned a few moments ago, is the day that will have the most keys, 51 according to Rabbi Yehuda. 57, according to Rabbanon, is because it doesn't happen every year. But what is the case? Erev Shabbos B'toich HaChag. But Erev Shabbos B'toich HaChag, as we just showed, also doesn't necessarily happen every year. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. HaRabbanon, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbanon that the Bezdin can manipulate that the first day of Sukkot should never be on Friday, so Yom Kippur should never be in Sunday. And the Mishnah and the Braisa that say that it can be Yom Kippur on Sunday, the first day of Sukkot on Friday, Acherim hi. The Tanya Acherim Omrim, Ein Bein Atzeres LaTzeres, this year's Yontav Shavuos to next year's Yontav Shavuos will always have, Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah LaRosh Hashanah, or this year Rosh Hashanah to next year Rosh Hashanah will always be Arba Yomim. In other words, they hold that the calendar is always fixed. 1 month has a 30-day calendar, and 1 month has a 29-day month. And we never manipulate the calendar in any other way. And since there's always going to be that way, so we're always going to have a year that's going to be exactly 354 days, which equals 50 weeks and 4 days. So there's always going to be that amount of time. And we don't manipulate the calendar for any other purpose. Then Hoyse Shana Muberes, and the Chaim go on to say that if it's a leap year, and therefore, if there's a leap year, you have one more month, And that month, the leap year, the other Sheni is always 29 days. So that will cause that the difference between every Yontif from 1 year to the next year will be 5 days. Because the year will have 54 weeks and 5 days. So we'll always have that amount. So according to the Acherim, even if Bezdin may not manipulate the calendar, and if the Bezdin may not manipulate the calendar, if Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, so be it. But our Mishnah holds that we manipulate the calendar. Yom Kippur is never on Sunday, and that means the first day of Sukkot is never on Friday.